From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, August 12, 2016. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. In this week's report, Hamvention's chairman assures hams will be very impressed with the new venue in Xenia, Ohio. Amateur radio sleuthing pins down a mysterious source of RF interference in Illinois. And Aries Day in Palm Beach County recruits 15 new members. Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL Life member Lloyd Cabral, KH6LC in Hilo, Hawaii, and you're listening to the ARRL Audio News.
Dayton Hamvention is moving on after 52 years at Hera Arena, and 2017 preparations at the show's new venue in Xenia, Ohio, now are in full swing. Two Hamvention officials explained this week on the Amateur Radio Roundtable webcast hosted by Tom Medlin, W5KUB. Hamvention announced on August 1st that it would relocate to the Greene County Fairgrounds after Hera Arena made it known that it would close at month's end. Hamvention 2017 General Chair Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, and official spokesperson Mike Calter, W8CI, fielded questions from Medlin and callers during the hour-long August 9th show. Calter assured those planning to attend Hamvention that the fairgrounds buildings, particularly those used for showing livestock during the county fair, are absolutely clean and well-maintained. He and Kramer expressed confidence that everyone will find plenty of available parking and room for all traditional Hamvention activities, more than may be evident at first glance. Vendors who have already visited the new site to get lay of the land went away excited, they said. At this point, no hard and fast decisions have been made as to how Hamvention will put the available buildings and space to use next spring, but Kramer and Calter said the fairground staff has been especially helpful. We're all working together now to make this happen, Calter said. He and Kramer made clear that Hamvention officials remain open to questions and suggestions. The prime area under consideration for the popular outdoor flea market is inside the racetrack oval, they said, and additional adjacent space is available if it's needed. The venue will have wireless internet coverage. As for the admission price, Calter said tickets would remain near the 2016 level. Tickets this year were $20 in advance and $25 at the gate for all 3 days. Kramer and Calter said Hamvention anticipates being ready to start selling tickets and vendor spaces by November. The ARRL Volunteer Examiner Coordinator reports that 20,447 new U.S. amateur radio licenses have been issued since January 1st. That's nearly 1,500 ahead of the number that had been issued by this time last year. At the present pace, the U.S. is on track to exceed 30,000 new radio amateurs for the third straight year by the end of 2016. While I am thrilled with this prospect, I'm also keenly aware that without some mentoring, these new hams' initial curiosity and enchantment may fade if they don't get on the air right away, said ARRL VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM. Let's show these new hams what the magic is all about, she urged. In addition, the ARRL VEC reports that upgrades are on track to reach nearly 11,000 by year's end. A mysterious interference source in Evanston, Illinois, has been tracked down thanks to the skills of amateur radio. The interference affected several car owners who found they could not open or start their vehicles remotely until their vehicles were towed at least a block away, nor were they able to call for help on their cell phones when problems occurred. Evanston police turned to ARRL for help after striking out with the FCC, which told them it considered key fob malfunctions a problem for automakers, even though the interference was affecting not just key fobs, but cell phones, a licensed radio service. Evanston authorities worried that a serious situation could develop if someone were unable to call 911, putting public safety at risk. On June 2nd, ARRL Midwest Division Director Kermit Carlson, W9XA, met with Evanston authorities and quickly confirmed that the 600 block of Dempster Avenue in Evanston was plagued with an odd RFI problem. Using a noise receiver and a UHF Yagi antenna to survey the affected block on frequencies used by car remotes, Carlson found the source of the problem to be a recently replaced neon sign switching mode power supply, which was generating a substantial signal within the on-street parking area just across the sidewalk, between 8 and 40 feet from the sign. The power supply was not replaced, but the building owner agreed to turn off the sign should problems arise. Carlson called the Evanston case a particularly alarming example of radio interference, especially since local authorities considered it a public safety matter.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters like the KD9 FZX repeater serving La Crosse County, Wisconsin, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now with this week's satellite update, here is Bruce Page, KK5DO.
For those of you that are using Logbook of the World, UKUB1 has been added to the list of valid satellites in TQSL. You can now upload all of your UKUB1 QSOs. Due to the number of characters in the field, there is no hyphen before the 1. It looks like the HARP experiment in Alaska is coming back. The original owners, the U.S. Air Force, had shut down a few years ago, and the tubes from Linears had been removed and placed in storage. Now University of Alaska at Fairbanks is taking over, and they are going to go back online. Generators have been tested. When all 720 tubes are installed, HARP is capable of producing a 5-gigawatt ERP signal. They are first going to get half the array going and then move on from there. I remember when HARP first came online and they were testing it, hams were given the opportunity to receive a reception QSL card. Maybe they will do this again. Stay tuned. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
The U.S. Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, team will host the ARIS International Face-to-Face Summit in the Houston, Texas area this fall. A highlight of the November 15th through 18th gathering will be a tour of NASA's Johnson Space Center. The ARIS International meeting will follow on the heels of the AMSAT Space Symposium, and ARIS has encouraged symposium participants to stay for the ARIS International meeting. The ARIS International Summit coincides with the 20th anniversary of the ARIS program. This year's meeting will focus on the ARIS hardware development project and future initiatives, sustaining the ARIS program through strategic partnerships and fundraising, and improving educational outcomes. Anyone interested in attending the ARIS International meeting November 15th through the 18th, may contact Rosalie White, K1STO, or ARIS International Chair Frank Bauer, KA3HDO. The Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club put on a first-class activation of the White House Ellipse, which counts for President's Park in ARRL's National Parks on the Air program. After considerable effort to secure a permit from the National Park Service, the club set up two stations on the Ellipse on August 5th and 6th and made more than 1,200 HF contacts on SSB and CW. AMSAT North America Secretary Paul Stetzer, N8HM, also handed out the unit on several amateur radio satellite passes. Kudos also to the Rogers High School Amateur Radio Club, W1VRC, in Newport, Rhode Island, for a successful activation of the Toro Synagogue National Historic Site. The high school club teamed up with the Middletown All Saints Steam Academy's Ham Radio Club, N1ASA, to make the August 7th activation a success. For August 11th through 17th, there are 33 activations on tap, including the first-ever activation of the Gates of the Arctic National Park in Alaska and Wupatki National Monument in Arizona. Details about these and other upcoming activations can be found on the National Parks on the Air activations calendar. Glenn Fowler, N5TDJ of Allen, Texas, reported via Facebook that amateur radio served him well on August 4th. We were on a treacherous Jeep trip up at about 13,000 feet with several other Jeeps in Colorado, he reported in his post. One person there from Texas had a heart attack. There was no cell phone service. I tried a few repeaters and the national simplex frequency and was amazed that no one was monitoring any of them. I kept trying and finally reached an ARIES station on a Breckenridge-linked repeater that took our GPS coordinates and dispatched an ambulance to meet us at the first place they could intercept the trail. Fowler reports the individual who suffered the heart attack was hospitalized, and thankfully, he received life-saving help from paramedics a lot sooner due to ham radio. An ARRL member, Fowler also belongs to the Plano Amateur Radio Club, K5PRK.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Ella Grzevich, KX5U of Jacksonville, Florida, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
It was Aries Day on July 30th in Palm Beach County, Florida. Sponsored by Palm Beach County Aries, the event at the Palm Beach Martin County Red Cross Chapter in West Palm Beach attracted 50 radio amateurs, and 15 joined the Amateur Radio Emergency Service. The Red Cross provided lunch. Thanks to the Red Cross and all who attended, said Central County Emergency Coordinator Barry Porter, KB1PA. Palm Beach County Aries is now more prepared if we are needed by any of our served agencies. It was a positive event that energized all who attended. Local ham radio clubs were represented at the event and offered assistance. ARRL Section Manager Jeff Beals, WA4AW, and Section Emergency Coordinator Larry Zimmer, W4LWZ, attended. Activities included demonstrations of emergency power equipment, digital communications using Packet and Winlink, National Traffic System and NTS Digital Communication, how to build an effective UHF-VHF antenna, portable UHF and VHF antennas, and what's inside a Red Cross emergency response vehicle. And finally, a reminder for those who download Audio News to air on repeaters. Beginning with the September 2nd episode, Audio News episodes will no longer be distributed through the ARRL website and will be primarily available via the podcast distributor Blueberry.com. That's Blueberry.com. We encourage you to begin downloading from this location as soon as possible. Listeners who enjoy Audio News through podcast apps on their tablets and smartphones should see no interruption of service. That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or a comment about Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2016 ARRL. All rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. 73, and thanks for listening.